Section 41. Daseins being as care. Since our aim is to grasp the totality of this structural whole ontologically, we must first ask whether the phenomenon of anxiety and that which is disclosed in it can give us the whole of Dasein in a way which is phenomenally equiprimordial, and whether they can do so in such a manner that if we look searchingly at this totality, our view of it will be filled in by what has thus been given us. The entire stock of what lies therein may be counted up formally and recorded. Anxiousness, as a state of mind, is a way of being in the world. That in the face of which we have anxiety is thrown being in the world. That which we have anxiety about is our potentiality for being in the world. Thus the entire phenomenon of anxiety shows Dasein as factically existing being in the world. The fundamental ontological characteristics of this entity are existentiality, facticity, and being fallen. These existential characteristics are not pieces belonging to something composite, one of which might sometimes be missing. But there is woven together in them a primordial context, which makes up that totality of the structural whole which we are seeking. In the unity of those characteristics of Dasein's being which we have mentioned, this being becomes something which it is possible for us to grasp as such ontologically. How is this unity itself to be characterized? Dasein is an entity for which, in its being, that being is an issue. The phrase, is an issue, has been made plain in the state of being of understanding as self-projective being towards its ownmost potentiality for being. This potentiality is that for the sake of which any Dasein is as it is. In each case, Dasein has already compared itself in its being with the possibility of itself, being free for one's ownmost potentiality for being, and therewith for the possibility of authenticity and inauthenticity is shown with a primordial elemental concreteness in anxiety. But ontologically, being toward one's ownmost potentiality for being means that in each case, Dasein is already ahead of itself. Ihm selbst vorweg, in its being. Dasein is always beyond itself, über sich hinaus, not as a way of behaving towards other entities which it is not, but as being towards the potentiality for being which it is itself. This structure of being which belongs to the essential is an issue, we shall denote as Dasein's being ahead of itself. But this structure pertains to the whole of Dasein's constitution. Being ahead of itself does not signify anything like an isolated tendency in a worldless subject, but characterizes being in the world. To being in the world, however, belongs the fact that it has been delivered over to itself, that it has in each case already been thrown into a world. The abandonment of Dasein to itself is shown with primordial concreteness in anxiety. Being ahead of itself means, if we grasp it more fully, ahead of itself in already being in a world. As soon as this essentially unitary structure is seen as a phenomenon, what we have set forth earlier in our analysis of worldhood also becomes plain. The upshot of that analysis was that the referential totality of significance, which as such is constitutive for worldhood, has been tied up with a for the sake of which. The fact that this referential totality of the manifold relations of the in order to has been bound up with that which is an issue for Dasein does not signify that a world of objects which is present at hand has been welded together with a subject. It is rather the phenomenal expression of the fact that the constitution of Dasein, whose totality is now brought out explicitly as ahead of itself in being already in, is primordially a whole. To put it otherwise, existing is always factical. Existentiality is essentially determined by facticity. Furthermore, Dasein's factical existing is not only generally and without further differentiation a thrown potentiality for being in the world, it is always also absorbed in the world of its concern. In this falling being alongside, fleeing in the face of uncanniness, which for the most part remains concealed with latent anxiety since the publicness of the they suppresses everything unfamiliar, announces itself whether it does so explicitly or not, and whether it is understood or not. Ahead of itself, being already in a world essentially includes one's falling and one's being alongside, those things ready to hand within the world with which one concerns oneself. The formally existential totality of Dasein's ontological structural whole must therefore be grasped in the following structure. The being of Dasein means ahead of itself being already in the world, as being alongside entities encountered within the world. This being fills in the signification of the term care, Sorge, which is used in a purely ontologico-existential manner. From this signification, every tendency of being which one might have in mind ontically, such as worry, Besorgnis, or carefreeness, Sorglosigkeit, is ruled out. Because being in the world is essentially care, being alongside the ready-to-hand could be taken in our previous analyses as concern, and being with the Dasein-with of others as we encounter it within the world could be taken as solicitude. Being alongside something is concern because it is defined as a way of being in by its basic structure, care. Care does not characterize just existentiality, let us say, as detached from facticity and falling. On the contrary, it embraces the unity of these ways in which being may be characterized. So neither does care stand primarily and exclusively for an isolated attitude of the I towards itself. If one were to construct the expression care for oneself, Selbstsorge, following the analogy of concern, Besorgen, and solicitude, Fürsorge, this would be a tautology. Care cannot stand for some special attitude towards the self, for the self has already been characterized ontologically by being ahead of itself, a characteristic in which the other two items in the structure of care, being already in and being alongside, have been jointly posited, mitgesetzt. In being ahead of oneself as being towards one's ownmost potentiality for being, lies the existential ontological condition for the possibility of being free, for authentic existentiell possibilities. For the sake of its potentiality for being, any Dasein is as it factically is. But to the extent that this being towards its potentiality for being is itself characterized by freedom, Dasein can comport itself towards its possibilities even unwillingly. It can be inauthentically, and factically it is inauthentically, proximally and for the most part. The authentic for the sake of which has not been taken hold of. The projection of one's own potentiality for being has been abandoned to the disposal of the they. Thus, when we speak of being ahead of itself, the itself which we have in mind is in each case the self in the sense of the they-self. Even in inauthenticity, Dasein remains essentially ahead of itself, just as Dasein's fleeing in the face of itself as it falls still shows that it has the state of being of an entity for which its being is an issue. Care, as a primordial structural totality, lies before, for, every factical attitude and situation of Dasein, and it does so existentially a priori. This means that it always lies in them. So this phenomenon by no means expresses a priority of the practical attitude over the theoretical. When we ascertain something present at hand by merely beholding it, this activity has the character of care just as much as does a political action, or taking a rest and enjoying oneself. Theory and practice are possibilities of being for an entity whose being must be defined as care. The phenomenon of care in its totality is essentially something that cannot be torn asunder. So any attempts to trace it back to special acts or drives, like willing and wishing, or urge and addiction, or to construct it out of these will be unsuccessful. Willing and wishing are rooted with ontological necessity in Dasein as care. They're not just ontologically undifferentiated experiences occurring in a stream, which is completely indefinite with regard to the meaning of its being. This is no less the case with urge and addiction. These two are grounded in care so far as they can be exhibited in Dasein at all. This does not prevent them from being ontologically constitutive, even for entities that merely live. But the basic ontological state of living is a problem in its own right, and can be tackled only reductively and privatively in terms of the ontology of Dasein. Care is ontologically earlier than the phenomena we have just mentioned, which admittedly can, within certain limits, always be described appropriately without our needing to have the full ontological horizon visible, or even to be familiar with it at all. From the standpoint of our present investigation in fundamental ontology, which aspires neither to a thematically complete ontology of Dasein, nor even to a concrete anthropology, it must suffice to suggest how these phenomena are grounded existentially in care. That very potentiality for being for the sake of which Dasein is, has being in the world as its kind of being. Thus it implies ontologically a relation to entities within the world. Care is always concern and solicitude, even if only privatively. In willing, an entity which is understood, that is, one which has been projected upon its possibility, gets seized upon either as something with which one may concern oneself, or as something which is to be brought into its being through solicitude. Hence to any willing there belongs something willed, which has already made itself definite in terms of a for the sake of which. If willing is to be possible ontologically, the following items are constitutive for it. 1. The prior disclosedness of the for the sake of which in general, being ahead of itself. 2. The disclosedness of something with which one can concern oneself, the world as the wherein of being already. 3. Dasein's projection of itself understandingly upon a potentiality for being towards a possibility of the entity willed. In the phenomenon of willing, the underlying totality of care shows through. As something factical, Dasein's projection of itself understandingly is in each case already alongside a world that has been discovered. From this world it takes its possibilities, and it does so first in accordance with the way things have been interpreted by the they. This interpretation has already restricted the possible options of choice to what lies within the range of the familiar, the attainable, the respectable, that which is fitting and proper. This levelling off of Dasein's possibilities to what is proximately at its everyday disposal also results in a dimming down of the possible as such. The average everydayness of concern becomes blind to its possibilities and tranquillizes itself with that which is merely actual. This tranquillizing does not rule out a high degree of diligence in one's concern, but arouses it. In this case, no positive new possibilities are willed, but that which is at one's disposal becomes tactically altered in such a way that there is a semblance of something happening. All the same, this tranquillized willing under the guidance of the they does not signify that one's being towards one's potentiality for being has been extinguished, but only that it has been modified. In such a case, one's being towards possibilities shows itself for the most part as mere wishing. In the wish, Dasein projects its being upon possibilities which not only have not been taken hold of in concern, but whose fulfillment has not even been pondered over and expected. On the contrary, in the mode of mere wishing, the ascendancy of being ahead of oneself brings with it a lack of understanding for the factical possibilities. When the world has been primarily projected as a wish world, being in the world has lost itself inertly in what is at its disposal. But it has done so in such a way that, in the light of what is wished for, that which is at its disposal, and this is all that is ready to hand, is never enough. Wishing is an existential modification of projecting oneself understandingly, when such self-projection has fallen forfeit to thrownness and just keeps hankering after possibilities. Such hankering closes off the possibilities. What is there in wishful hankering turns into the actual world. Ontologically, wishing presupposes care. In hankering, being already alongside takes priority. The ahead of itself in being already in is correspondingly modified. Dasein's hankering as it falls makes manifest its addiction to becoming lived by whatever world it is in. This addiction shows the character of being out for something, ausseins auf. Being ahead of oneself has lost itself in a just always already alongside. What one is addicted towards, das hinzu des Hanges, is to let oneself be drawn by the sort of thing for which the addiction hankers. If Dasein, as it were, sinks into an addiction, then there is not merely an addiction present at hand, but the entire structure of care has been modified. Dasein has become blind and puts all possibilities into the service of the addiction. On the other hand, the urge to live is something towards which one is impelled, and it brings the impulsion along with it of its own accord. It is towards this at any price. The urge seeks to crowd out, verdrängen, other possibilities. Here too, the being ahead of oneself is one that is inauthentic, even if one is assailed by an urge coming from the very thing that is urging one on. The urge can outrun one's current state of mind and one's understanding. But then Dasein is not, and never is, a mere urge to which other kinds of controlling or guiding behavior are added from time to time. Rather, as a modification of the entirety of being in the world, it is always care already. In pure urge, care has not yet become free. Though care first makes it ontologically possible for Dasein to be urged on by itself, in addiction, however, care has always been bound. Addiction and urge are possibilities rooted in the thrownness of Dasein. The urge to live is not to be annihilated. The addiction to becoming lived by the world is not to be rooted out. But because these are both grounded ontologically in care, and only because of this, they are both to be modified in an ontical and existentiel manner by care as something authentic. With the expression care, we have in mind a basic existential ontological phenomenon, which all the same is not simple in its structure. The ontologically elemental totality of the care structure cannot be traced back to some ontical primal element, just as being certainly cannot be explained in terms of entities. In the end, it will be shown that the idea of being in general is just as far from being simple as is the being of Dasein. In defining care as being ahead of oneself, in being already in, as being alongside, we have made it plain that even this phenomenon is, in itself, still structurally articulated. But is this not a phenomenal symptom that we must pursue the ontological question even further until we can exhibit a still more primordial phenomenon which provides the ontological support for the unity and the totality of the structural manifoldness of care? Before we follow up this question, we must look back and appropriate with greater precision what we have hitherto interpreted in aiming at the question of fundamental ontology as to the meaning of being in general. First, however, we must show that what is ontologically new in this interpretation is ontically quite old. In explicating Dasein's being as care, we're not forcing it under an idea of our own contriving, but we are conceptualizing existentially what has already been disclosed in an ontico-existentiel manner.
Section 42.
Confirmation of the existential interpretation of Dasein as care in terms of Dasein's pre-ontological way of interpreting itself. In our foregoing interpretations, which have finally led to exhibiting care as the being of Dasein, everything depended on our arriving at the right ontological foundations for that entity, which in each case we ourselves are, and which we call man. To do this, it was necessary from the outset to change the direction of our analysis from the approach presented by the traditional definition of man, an approach which has not been clarified ontologically and is in principle questionable. In comparison with this definition, the existential ontological interpretation may seem strange, especially if care is understood just ontically as worry or grief, als Besorgnis und Bekümmernis. Accordingly, we shall now cite a document which is pre-ontological in character, even though its demonstrative force is merely historical. We must bear in mind, however, that in this document, Dasein is expressing itself primordially, unaffected by any theoretical interpretation, and without aiming to propose any. We must also note that Dasein's being is characterized by historicality, though this must first be demonstrated ontologically. If Dasein is historical in the very depths of its being, then a deposition, Aussage, which comes from its history and goes back to it, and which, moreover, is prior to any scientific knowledge, will have a special weight, even though its importance is never purely ontological. That understanding of being which lies in Dasein itself expresses itself pre-ontologically. The document which we are about to cite should make plain that our existential interpretation is not a mere fabrication, but that as an ontological construction it is well-grounded and has been sketched out beforehand in elemental ways. There is an ancient fable in which Dasein's interpretation of itself as care has been embedded. Once, when Care was crossing a river, she saw some clay. She thoughtfully took up a piece and began to shape it. While she was meditating on what she had made, Jupiter came by. Care asked him to give it spirit, and this he gladly granted. But when she wanted her name to be bestowed upon it, he forbade this, and demanded that it be given his name instead. While Care and Jupiter were disputing, Earth arose and desired that her own name be conferred on the creature, since she had furnished it with part of her body. They asked Saturn to be their arbiter, and he made the following decision, which seemed a just one. Since you, Jupiter, have given its spirit, you shall receive that spirit at its death. And since you, Earth, have given its body, you shall receive its body. But since Care first shaped this creature, she shall possess it as long as it lives. And because there is now a dispute among you as to its name, let it be called Homo, human, for it is made out of humus, earth. This pre-ontological document becomes especially significant not only in that Care is here seen as that to which human Dasein belongs, for its lifetime, but also because this priority of Care emerges in connection with the familiar way of taking man as compounded of body, earth, and spirit. Cura prima finxit. Care first formed it. In Care, this entity has the source of its being. Cura teneat, quam diu vixerit. Let Care hold, keep it as long as it lives. The entity is not released from this source, but is held fast, dominated by it through and through as long as this entity is in the world. Being in the world has the stamp of Care, which accords with its being. It gets the name Homo, human, not in consideration of its being, but in relation to that of which it consists, humus. The decision as to wherein the primordial being of this creature is to be seen is left to Saturn, time. Thus, the pre-ontological characterization of man's essence expressed in this fable has brought to view in advance the kind of being which dominates his temporal sojourn in the world, and does so through and through. The history of the signification of the ontical concept of Care permits us to see still further basic structures of Dasein. Burdach calls attention to a double meaning of the term cura, according to which it signifies not only anxious exertion, but also carefulness and devotedness. Sorgfalt, Hingabe. Thus Seneca writes in his last epistle, among the four existent natures, trees, beasts, man and God, the latter two, which alone are endowed with reason, are distinguished in that God is immortal while man is mortal. Now when it comes to these, the good of the one, namely God, is fulfilled by his nature, but that of the other, man, is fulfilled by care, cura. Unius bonum natura perficit, Dei scilicet, alterius cura hominis. Man's perfectio, his transformation into that which he can be in being free for his ownmost possibilities, projection, is accomplished by care. But with equal primordiality, care determines what is basically specific in this entity, according to which it has been surrendered to the world of its concern, thrownness. In the double meaning of care, what we have in view is a single basic state in its essentially twofold structure of throne projection. As compared with this ontical interpretation, the existential ontological interpretation is not, let us say, merely an ontical generalization which is theoretical in character. That would just mean that ontically all man's ways of behaving are full of care and are guided by his devotedness to something. The generalization is rather one that is ontological and a priori. What it has in view is not a set of ontical properties which constantly keep emerging, but a state of being which is already underlying in every case, and which first makes it ontologically possible for this entity to be addressed ontically as cura. The essential condition for the possibility of the cares of life and devotedness must be conceived as care in a sense which is primordial, that is, ontological. The transcendental generality of the phenomenon of care and of all fundamental existentialia, things which are existential, is on the other hand broad enough to present a basis on which every interpretation of Dasein, which is ontical, and belongs to a worldview, must move, whether Dasein is understood as affliction, naught, and the cares of life, or in an opposite manner. The very emptiness and generality which obtrude themselves ontically in existential structures have an ontological definiteness and fullness of their own. Thus, Dasein's whole constitution itself is not simple in its unity, but shows a structural articulation. In the existential conception of care, this articulation becomes expressed. Thus, by our ontological interpretation of Dasein, we have been brought to the existential conception of care from Dasein's pre-ontological interpretation of itself as care. Yet the analytic of Dasein is not aimed at laying an ontological basis for anthropology. Its purpose is one of fundamental ontology. This is the purpose that has tacitly determined the course of our considerations hitherto, our selection of phenomena, and the limits to which our analysis may proceed. Now, however, with regard to our leading question of the meaning of being and our way of working this out, our investigation must give us explicit assurance as to what we have so far achieved. But this sort of thing is not to be reached by superficially taking together what we have discussed. Rather, with the help of what we have achieved, that which could be indicated only crudely at the beginning of the existential analytic, must now be concentrated into a more penetrating understanding of the problem. Section 43. Dasein, Worldhood, and Reality. The question of the meaning of being becomes possible at all only if there is something like an understanding of being. Understanding of being belongs to the kind of being which the entity called Dasein possesses. The more appropriately and primordially we have succeeded in explicating this entity, the surer we are to attain our goal in the further course of working out the problem of fundamental ontology. In our pursuit of the tasks of a preparatory existential analytic of Dasein, there emerged an interpretation of understanding, meaning, and interpretation. Our analysis of Dasein's disclosedness showed further that with this disclosedness, Dasein, in its basic state of being in the world, has been revealed equiprimordially with regard to the world, being in, and the self. Furthermore, in the factical disclosedness of the world, entities within the world are discovered too. This implies that the being of these entities is always understood in a certain manner, even if it is not conceived in a way which is appropriately ontological. To be sure, the pre-ontological understanding of being embraces all entities which are essentially disclosed in Dasein. But the understanding of being has not yet articulated itself in a way which corresponds to the various modes of being. At the same time, our interpretation of understanding has shown that, in accordance with its falling kind of being, It has proximally and for the most part diverted itself, sich verlegt, into an understanding of the world. Even where the issue is not only one of ontical experience but also one of ontological understanding, the interpretation of being takes its orientation in the first instance from the being of entities within the world. Thereby, the being of what is proximally ready to hand gets passed over, and entities are first conceived as a context of things, rays, which are present at hand. Being acquires the meaning of reality. Substantiality becomes the basic, characteristic of being. Corresponding to this way in which the understanding of being has been diverted, even the ontological understanding of Dasein moves into the horizon of this conception of being. Like any other entity, Dasein, too, is present at hand as real. In this way, being in general acquires the meaning of reality. Accordingly, the concept of reality has a peculiar priority in the ontological problematic. By this priority, the route to a genuine existential analytic of Dasein gets diverted, and so too does our very view of the being of what is proximally ready to hand within the world. It finally forces the general problematic of being into a direction that lies off the course. The other modes of being become defined negatively and privatively with regard to reality. Thus, not only the analytical Dasein, but the working out of the question of the meaning of being in general must be turned away from a one-sided orientation with regard to being in the sense of reality. We must demonstrate that reality is not only one kind of being among others, but that, ontologically, it has a definite connection in its foundations with Dasein, the world, and readiness to hand. To demonstrate this, we must discuss in principle the problem of reality, its conditions, and its limits. Under the heading Problem of Reality, various questions are clustered. 1. Whether any entities which supposedly transcend our consciousness are at all. 2. Whether this reality of the external world can be adequately proved. 3. How far this entity, if it is real, is to be known in its being in itself. 4. What the meaning of this entity, reality, signifies in general. The following discussion of the problem of reality will treat three topics with regard to the question of fundamental ontology. A. Reality as a problem of being and whether the external world can be proved. B. Reality as an ontological problem. C. Reality and care. A. Reality as a problem of being and whether the external world can be proved. Of these questions about reality, the one which comes first in order is the ontological question of what reality signifies in general. But as long as a pure ontological problematic and methodology was lacking, this question, if it was explicitly formulated at all, was necessarily confounded with a discussion of the problem of the external world, for the analysis of reality is possible only on the basis of our having appropriate access to the real. But it has long been held that the way to grasp the real is by that kind of knowing which is characterized by beholding, das Anschauende erkennen. Such knowing is as a way in which the soul or consciousness behaves. Insofar as reality has the character of something independent and in itself, the question of the meaning of reality becomes linked with that of whether the real can be independent of consciousness, or whether there can be a transcendence of consciousness into the sphere of the real. The possibility of an adequate ontological analysis of reality depends upon how far that of which the real is to be thus independent, how far that which is to be transcended has itself been clarified with regard to its being. Only thus can even the kind of being which belongs to transcendence be ontologically grasped. And finally, we must make sure what kind of primary access we have to the real, by deciding the question of whether knowing can take over this function at all. These investigations, which take precedence over any possible ontological question about reality, have been carried out in the foregoing existential analytic. According to this analytic, knowing is a founded mode of access to the real. The real is essentially accessible only as entities within the world. All access to such entities is founded ontologically upon the basic state of Dasein, being in the world. And this in turn has care as its even more primordial state of being, ahead of itself, being already in a world, as being alongside entities within the world. The question of whether there is a world at all, and whether its being can be proved, makes no sense if it is raised by Dasein as being in the world. And who else would raise it? Furthermore, it is encumbered with a double signification. The world as the wherein, das worin, of being in, and the world as entities within the world, that in which, das wobei, one is concernfully absorbed, either have been confused or are not distinguished at all. But the world is disclosed essentially along with the being of Dasein. With the disclosedness of the world has in each case been discovered too. Of course, entities within the world, in the sense of the real as merely present at hand, are the very things that can remain concealed. But even the real can be discovered only on the basis of a world which has already been disclosed. And only on this basis can anything real still remain hidden. The question of the reality of the external world gets raised without any previous clarification of the phenomenon of the world as such. Factically, the problem of the external world is constantly oriented with regard to entities within the world, things and objects. So these discussions drift along into a problematic which it is almost impossible to disentangle ontologically. Kant's refutation of idealism shows how intricate these questions are, and how what one wants to prove gets muddled with what one does prove, and with the means whereby the proof is carried out. Kant calls it a scandal of philosophy and of human reason in general that there is still no cogent proof for the Dasein of things outside of us, which will do away with any scepticism. He proposes such a proof himself, and indeed he does so to provide grounds for his theorem that the mere consciousness of my own Dasein, a consciousness which, however, is empirical in character, proves the Dasein of objects in the space outside of me. We must in the first instance note explicitly that Kant uses the term Dasein to designate that kind of being which in the present investigation we have called presence at hand. Consciousness of my Dasein means for Kant a consciousness of my being present at hand, in the sense of Descartes. When Kant uses the term Dasein, he has in mind the being present at hand of consciousness just as much as the being present at hand of things. The proof for the Dasein of things outside of me is supported by the fact that both change and performance belong with equal primordiality to the essence of time. My own being present at hand, that is, the being present at hand of a multiplicity of representations, which has been given in the inner sense, is a process of change which is present at hand. To have a determinate temporal character, Zeitbestimmtheit, however, presupposes something present at hand which is permanent. But this cannot be in us, for only through what is thus permanent can my Dasein in time be determined. Thus, if changes which are present at hand have been posited empirically in me, it is necessary that along with these something permanent which is present at hand should be posited empirically outside of me. What is thus permanent is the condition which makes it possible for the changes in me to be present at hand. The experience of the being in time of representations posits something changing in me and something permanent outside of me, and it posits both with equal primordiality. Of course, this proof is not a causal inference and is therefore not encumbered with the disadvantages which that would imply. Kant gives, as it were, an ontological proof in terms of the idea of a temporal entity. It seems at first as if Kant has given up the Cartesian approach of positing a subject one can come across in isolation, but only in semblance. That Kant demands any proof at all for the Dasein of things outside of me shows already that he takes the subject, the in me, as the starting point for this problematic. Moreover, his proof itself is then carried through by starting with the empirically given changes in me. For only in me is time experienced, and time carries the burden of the proof. Time provides the basis for leaping off into what is outside of me in the course of the proof. Furthermore, Kant emphasizes that the problematical kind of idealism, which merely alleges our inability to prove by immediate experience that there is a Dasein outside of our own, is reasonable and accords with a sound kind of philosophical thinking, namely to permit no decisive judgment until an adequate proof has been found. But even if the ontical priority of the isolated subject and inner experience should be given up, Descartes' position would still be retained ontologically. What Kant proves, if we may suppose that his proof is correct and correctly based, is that entities which are changing and entities which are permanent are necessarily present at hand together. But when two things which are present at hand are thus put on the same level, this does not as yet mean that subject and object are present at hand together. And even if this were proved, what is ontologically decisive would still be covered up, namely the basic state of the subject, Dasein, as being in the world. The being present at hand together of the physical and the psychical is completely different ontically and ontologically from the phenomenon of being in the world. Kant presupposes both the distinction between the in me and the outside of me, and also the connection between these. Factically, he is correct in doing so, but he is incorrect from the standpoint of the tendency of his proof. It has not been demonstrated that the sort of thing which gets established about the being present at hand together of the changing and the permanent when one takes time as one's clue will also apply to the connection between the in me and the outside of me. But if one were to see the whole distinction between the inside and the outside and the whole connection between them which Kant's proof presupposes, and if one were to have an ontological conception of what has been presupposed in this presupposition, then the possibility of holding that a proof of the Dasein of things outside of me is a necessary one, which has yet to be given, noch ausstehend, would collapse. The scandal of philosophy is not that this proof has yet to be given, but that such proofs are expected and attempted again and again. Such expectations, aims, and demands arise from an ontologically inadequate way of starting with something of such a character that independently of it and outside of it, a world is to be proved as present at hand. It is not that the proofs are inadequate, but that the kind of being of the entity which does the proving and makes requests for proofs has not been made definite enough. This is why a demonstration that two things which are present at hand are necessarily present at hand together can give rise to the illusion that something has been proved or even can be proved about Dasein as being in the world. If Dasein is understood correctly, it defies such proofs because, in its being, it already is what subsequent proofs deem necessary to demonstrate for it. If one were to conclude that since the being present at hand of things outside of us is impossible to prove, it must therefore be merely taken on faith, one would still fail to surmount this perversion of the problem. The assumption would remain that at bottom and ideally it must still be possible to carry out such a proof. This inappropriate way of approaching the problem is still endorsed when one restricts oneself to a faith in the reality of the external world, even if such a faith is explicitly acknowledged as such. Although one is not offering a stringent proof, one is still in principle demanding a proof and trying to satisfy that demand. Even if one should invoke the doctrine that the subject must presuppose, and indeed always does, unconsciously presuppose the presence at hand of the external world, one would still be starting with the construct of an isolated subject. The phenomenon of being in the world is something that one would no more meet in this way than one would by demonstrating that the physical and the psychical are present at hand together. With such presuppositions, Dasein always comes too late. For insofar as it does this presupposing as an entity, and otherwise this would be impossible, it is, as an entity, already in a world. Earlier than any presupposition which Dasein makes, or any of its ways of behaving, is the a priori character of its state of being, as one whose kind of being is care. To have faith in the reality of the external world, whether rightly or wrongly, to prove this reality for it, whether adequately or inadequately, to presuppose it, whether explicitly or not, attempts such as these, which have not mastered their own basis with full transparency, presuppose a subject which is proximally worldless or unsure of its world, and which must at bottom first assure itself of a world. Thus, from the very beginning, being in a world is disposed to take things in some way, auffassen, to suppose, to be certain, to have faith, a way of behaving which itself is always a founded mode of being in the world. The problem of reality in the sense of the question whether an external world is present at hand, and whether such a world can be proved, turns out to be an impossible one. Not because its consequences lead to inextricable impasses, but because the very entity which serves as its theme is one which, as it were, repudiates any such formulation of the question. Our task is not to prove that an external world is present at hand, or to show how it is present at hand, but to point out why Dasein, as being in the world, has the tendency to bury the external world in nullity, epistemologically, before going on to prove it. The reason for this lies in Dasein's falling and in the way in which the primary understanding of being has been diverted to being as presence at hand, a diversion which is motivated by that falling itself. If one formulates the question critically with such an ontological orientation, then what one finds present at hand as proximally and solely certain is something merely inner. After the primordial phenomenon of being in the world has been shattered, the isolated subject is all that remains, and this becomes the basis on which it gets joined together with a world. In this investigation, we cannot discuss at length the many attempts to solve the problem of reality, which have been developed in various kinds of realism and idealism, and in positions which mediate between them. Certainly a grain of genuine inquiry is to be found in each of these, but certain as this is, it would be just as perverse if one should want to achieve a tenable solution of the problem by reckoning up how much has been correct in each case. What is needed, rather, is the basic insight that while the different epistemological directions which have been pursued have not gone so very far off epistemologically, their neglect of any existential analytic of Dasein has kept them from obtaining any basis for a well-secured phenomenal problematic. Nor is such a basis to be obtained by subsequently making phenomenological corrections on the concepts of subject and consciousness. Such a procedure would give no guarantee that the inappropriate formulation of the question would not continue to stand. Along with Dasein as being in the world, entities within the world have in each case already been disclosed. This existential ontological assertion seems to accord with the thesis of realism that the external world is really present at hand. Insofar as this existential assertion does not deny that entities within the world are present at hand, it agrees, doxographically as it were, with the thesis of realism in its results. But it differs in principle from every kind of realism, for realism holds that the reality of the world not only needs to be proved, but also is capable of proof. In the existential assertion, both of these positions are directly negated. But what distinguishes this assertion from realism altogether is the fact that in realism there is a lack of ontological understanding. Indeed, realism tries to explain reality ontically by real connections of interaction between things that are real. As compared with realism, idealism, no matter how contrary and untenable it may be in its results, has an advantage in principle, provided that it does not misunderstand itself as psychological idealism. If idealism emphasizes that being and reality are only in the consciousness, this expresses an understanding of the fact that being cannot be explained through entities. But as long as idealism fails to clarify what this very understanding of being means ontologically, or how this understanding is possible, or that it belongs to Dasein's state of being, the interpretation of reality which idealism constructs is an empty one. Yet the fact that being cannot be explained through entities and that reality is possible only in the understanding of being does not absolve us from inquiring into the being of consciousness, of the res cogitans, thinking thing itself. If the idealist thesis is to be followed consistently, the ontological analysis of consciousness itself is prescribed as an inevitable prior task. Only because being is in the consciousness, that is to say, only because it is understandable in Dasein, can Dasein also understand and conceptualize such characteristics of being as independence, the in itself, and reality in general. Only because of this are independent entities, as encountered within the world, accessible to circumspection. If what the term idealism says amounts to the understanding that being can never be explained by entities, but is already that which is transcendental for every entity, then idealism affords the only correct possibility for a philosophical problematic. If so, Aristotle was no less an idealist than Kant. But if idealism signifies tracing back every entity to a subject or consciousness, whose sole distinguishing features are that it remains indefinite in its being, and is best characterized negatively as unthing-like, then this idealism is no less naive in its method than the most grossly militant realism. It is still possible that one may give the problematic of reality priority over any orientation in terms of standpoints by maintaining the thesis that every subject is what it is only for an object, and vice versa. But in this formal approach, the terms thus correlated, like the correlation itself, remain ontologically indefinite. At the bottom, however, the whole correlation necessarily gets thought of as somehow being, and must therefore be thought of with regard to some definite idea of being. Of course, if the existential ontological basis has been made secure beforehand, by exhibiting being in the world, then this correlation is one that we can know later as a formalized relation, ontologically undifferentiated. Our discussion of the unexpressed presuppositions of attempts to solve the problem of reality in ways which are just epistemological shows that this problem must be taken back, as an ontological one, into the existential analytic of Dasein. B. Reality as an ontological problem. If the term reality is meant to stand for the being of entities present at hand within the world, res, and nothing else is understood thereby, then when it comes to analyzing this mode of being, this signifies that entities within the world are ontologically conceivable only if the phenomenon of within the worldness has been clarified. But within the worldness is based upon the phenomenon of the world, which, for its part, as an essential item in the structure of being in the world, belongs to the basic constitution of Dasein. Being in the world, in turn, is bound up ontologically in the structural totality of Dasein's being, and we have characterized care as such a totality. But in this way, we have marked out the foundations and the horizons which must be clarified if an analysis of reality is to be possible. Only in this connection, moreover, does the character of the in itself become ontologically intelligible. By taking our orientation from this context of problems, we have in our earlier analyses interpreted the being of entities within the world. To be sure, the reality of the real can be characterized phenomenologically within certain limits without any explicit existential ontological basis. This is what Dilthey has attempted in the article mentioned above. He holds that the real gets experienced in impulse and will, and that reality is resistance, or more exactly, the character of resisting. He then works out the phenomenon of resistance analytically. This is the positive contribution of his article, and provides the best concrete substantiation for his idea of a psychology which both describes and dissects. But he is kept from working out the analysis of this phenomenon correctly by the epistemological problematic of reality. The principle of phenomenality does not enable him to come to an ontological interpretation of the being of consciousness. Within the same consciousness, he writes, the will and its inhibition emerge. What kind of being belongs to this emerging? What is the meaning of the being of the within? What relationship of being does consciousness bear to the real itself? All this must be determined ontologically. That this has not been done depends ultimately on the fact that Dilthey has left life standing in such a manner that it is ontologically undifferentiated. And of course, life is something which one cannot go back behind. But to interpret Dasein ontologically does not signify that we must go back ontically to some other entity. The fact that Dilthe has been refuted epistemologically cannot prevent us from making fruitful use of what is positive in his analyses, the very thing that has not been understood in such refutations. Thus, Scheler has recently taken up Dilthe's interpretation of reality. He stands for a voluntative theory of Dasein. Here, Dasein is understood in the Kantian sense as being present at hand. The being of objects is given immediately only in the way it is related to drive and will. Scheler not only emphasizes, as does Dilthe, that reality is never primarily given in thinking and apprehending. He also points out particularly that cognition, erkennen, itself is not judgment, and that knowing, wissen, is a relationship of being. What we have already said about the ontological indefiniteness of Dilthe's foundations holds in principle for this theory too. Nor can the fundamental ontological analysis of life be slipped in afterwards as a substructure. Such a fundamental analysis provides the supporting conditions for the analysis of reality, for the entire explication of the character of resisting and its phenomenal presuppositions. Resistance is encountered in a not coming through, and it is encountered as a hindrance to willing to come through. With such willing, however, something must already have been disclosed which one's drive and one's will are out for. But what they are out for is ontically indefinite, and this indefiniteness must not be overlooked ontologically, or taken as if it were nothing. When being out for something comes up against resistance, and can do nothing but come up against it, it is itself already alongside a totality of involvements. But the fact that this totality has been discovered is grounded in the disclosedness of the referential totality of significance. The experiencing of resistance, that is, the discovery of what is resistant to one's endeavours, is possible ontologically only by reason of the disclosedness of the world. The character of resisting is one that belongs to entities within the world. Factically, experiences of resistance determine only the extent and the direction in which entities encountered within the world are discovered. The summation of such experiences does not introduce the disclosure of the world for the first time, but presupposes it. The against and the counter to as ontological possibilities are supported by disclosed being in the world. Nor is resistance experienced in a drive or will which emerges in its own right. These both turn out to be modifications of care. Only entities with this kind of being can come up against something resistant as something within the world. So if reality gets defined as the character of resisting, we must notice two things. First, that this is only one character of reality among others. Second, that the character of resisting presupposes necessarily a world which has already been disclosed. Resistance characterizes the external world in the sense of entities within the world, but never in the sense of the world itself. Consciousness of reality is itself a way of being in the world. Every problematic of the external world comes back necessarily to this basic existential phenomenon. If the cogito sum, I think, I am, is to serve as the point of departure for the existential analytic of Dasein, then it needs to be turned around, and furthermore its content needs new ontologico-phenomenal confirmation. The sum is then asserted first, and indeed in the sense that I am in a world. As such an entity, I am in the possibility of being towards various ways of comporting myself, namely cogitationis, thinkings, as ways of being alongside entities within the world. Descartes, on the contrary, says that cogitationes are present at hand, and that in these an ego is present at hand too as a worldless res cogitans. C. Reality and care. Reality as an ontological term is one which we have related to entities within the world. If it serves to designate this kind of being in general, then readiness to hand and presence at hand function as modes of reality. If, however, one lets this world have its traditional signification, then it stands for being in the sense of the pure presence at hand of things. But not all presence at hand is the presence at hand of things. The nature by which we are surrounded is, of course, an entity within the world. But the kind of being which it shows belongs neither to the ready to hand nor to what is present at hand as things of nature. No matter how this being of nature may be interpreted, all the modes of being of entities within the world are founded ontologically upon the worldhood of the world, and accordingly upon the phenomenon of being in the world. From this there arises the insight that among the modes of being of entities within the world, reality has no priority, and that reality is a kind of being which cannot even characterize anything like the world, or Dasein in a way which is ontologically appropriate. In the order of the ways in which things are connected in their ontological foundations, and in the order of any possible categorical and existential demonstration, reality is referred back to the phenomenon of care. But the fact that reality is ontologically grounded in the being of Dasein does not signify that only when Dasein exists, and as long as Dasein exists, can the real be as that which in itself it is. Of course, only as long as Dasein is, that is, only as long as an understanding of being is ontically possible, is there being. When Dasein does not exist, independence is not either, nor is the in itself. In such a case, this sort of thing can neither be understood nor not understood. In such a case, even entities within the world can neither be discovered nor lie hidden. In such a case, it cannot be said that entities are, nor can it be said that they are not. But now, as long as there is an understanding of being and therefore an understanding of presence at hand, it can indeed be said that in this case entities will still continue to be. As we have noted, being, not entities, is dependent upon the understanding of being. That is to say, reality, not the real, is dependent upon care. By this dependency, our further analytic of Dasein is held secure in the face of an uncritical interpretation, which nevertheless keeps urging itself upon us, an interpretation in which the idea of reality is taken as the clue to Dasein. Only if we take our orientation from existentiality as interpreted in an ontologically positive manner, can we have any guarantee that in the factical course of the analysis of consciousness or of life, some sense of reality does not get made basic, even if it is one which has not been further differentiated. Entities with Dasein's kind of being cannot be conceived in terms of reality and substantiality. We have expressed this by the thesis that the substance of man is existence. Yet, if we have interpreted existentiality as care and distinguished this from reality, this does not signify that our existential analytic is at an end. We have merely allowed the intricate problems of the question of being and its possible modes, and the question of the meaning of such modifications, to emerge more sharply. Only if the understanding of being is, do entities as entities become accessible. Only if entities are of Dasein's kind of being is the understanding of being possible as an entity.
Section 44. Dasein, Disclosedness, and Truth. From time immemorial, philosophy has associated truth and being. Parmenides was the first to discover the being of entities, and he identified being with the perceptive understanding of being. Toga auto noein estin te kai enai. For thought and being are the same thing. Aristotle, in outlining the history of how the archai, origins, have been uncovered, emphasizes that the philosophers before him, under the guidance of the things themselves, have been compelled to inquire further. Hauto to pragma, hoto poiesen autois, kai sunenankase zetein. The very fact showed them the way and joined in forcing them to investigate the subject. He is describing the same fact when he says, anankatsominos de akoluthein tois phenomenois. He, Parmenides, was compelled to follow that which showed itself in itself. In another passage he remarks that these thinkers carried on their researches, compelled by the truth itself. Aristotle describes these researches as philosophizing about the truth, or even as exhibiting something and letting it be seen with regard to the truth and within the range of the truth. Philosophy itself is defined as the science of the truth. But it is also characterized as a science which contemplates entities as entities, that is, with regard to their being. What is signified here by carrying on researches into the truth, by science of the truth? In such researches, is truth made a theme, as it would be in a theory of knowledge or of judgment? Manifestly not, for truth signifies the same as thing, Sache, something that shows itself. But what then does the expression truth signify if it can be used as a term for entity and being? If, however, truth rightfully has a primordial connection with being, then the phenomenon of truth comes within the range of the problematic of fundamental ontology. In that case, must not this phenomenon have been encountered already within our preparatory fundamental analysis, the analytic of Dasein? What ontico-ontological connection does truth have with Dasein and with that ontical characteristic of Dasein, which we call the understanding of being? Can the reason why being necessarily goes together with truth and vice versa be pointed out in terms of such understanding? These questions are not to be evaded, because being does indeed go together with truth. The phenomenon of truth has already been one of the themes of our earlier analyses, though not explicitly under this title. In giving precision to the problem of being, it is now time to delimit the phenomenon of truth explicitly, and to fix the problems which it comprises. In doing this, we should not just take together what we have previously taken apart. Our investigation requires a new approach. Our analysis takes its departure from the traditional conception of truth and attempts to lay bare the ontological foundations of that conception. A. In terms of these foundations, the primordial phenomenon of truth becomes visible. We can then exhibit the way in which the traditional conception of truth has been derived from this phenomenon. B. Our investigation will make it plain that to the question of the essence of truth, there belongs necessarily the question of the kind of being which truth possesses. Together with this, we must clarify the ontological meaning of the kind of talk in which we say that there is truth. And we must also clarify the kind of necessity with which we must presuppose that there is truth. A. The traditional conception of truth and its ontological foundations. There are three theses which characterize the way in which the essence of truth has been traditionally taken, and the way it is supposed to have been first defined. 1. That the locus of truth is assertion, judgment. 2. That the essence of truth lies in the agreement of the judgment with its object. 3. That Aristotle, the father of logic, not only has assigned truth to the judgment as its primordial locus, but has set going the definition of truth as agreement. Here it is not our aim to provide a history of the concept of truth, which could be presented only on the basis of a history of ontology. We shall introduce our analytical discussions by alluding to some familiar matters. Aristotle says that the soul's experiences, its representations, are likenings of things. This assertion, which is by no means proposed as an explicit definition of the essence of truth, has also given occasion for developing the later formulation of the essence of truth as adequatio intellectus et rei, likeness of intellect and thing. Thomas Aquinas, who refers this definition to Avicenna, who in turn has taken it over from Isaac Israeli's 10th century Book of Definitions, also uses for adequatio, likening, the terms correspondentia, correspondence, and convenientia, coming together. The neo-Kantian epistemology of the 19th century often characterized this definition of truth as an expression of a methodologically retarded, naive realism, and declared it to be irreconcilable with any formulation of this question which has undergone Kant's Copernican revolution. But Kant, too, adhered to this conception of truth, so much so that he did not even bring it up for discussion. This has been overlooked. though Brentano has already called our attention to it. The old and celebrated question with which it was supposed that one might drive the logicians into a corner is this: what is